Stephen Mayne is on the blower. He's had a very close look at the profit results released today by the Telstra Corporation Limited and the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. G'day, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, thank you. The market was underwhelmed by the Telstra result, with shares this morning, in any case, down 15 cents or 3.3%. How'd they finish up on the day for Telstra?
Finished down 18 cents or 4%. So the closing price was $4.30. That wiped $1.9 billion off the value of the company.
And so, they're well under, more than 20% down since the genius Soltra here took over.
They are, although, the argument goes is that Sol inherited a bit of a basket case and Telstra had been underinvesting for years, and he came out and was a bit more honest about the true state of Telstra. So that's the argument that they spin. And he's embarked on a massive transformation program, which I think is quite a revolution in Telstra. They're spending many billions on networks and billing systems and everything else. And he's now 3 years into his five-year promise to try and deliver Telstra more than $6 billion a year in straight cash profits.
Yep.
And he's currently doing $3.9 billion, so he's got he's loading up all his big achievements in the last 2 years. He's really got to crank up the profits over the next 2 years if he's going to deliver all he's promised.
Well, look, I'm not trying to be cute about it, but there's no doubt that Sol and his deputy, the Chief Operating Officer, Greg Wynne, have done well, $24.6 million out of the company personally in the last financial year.
That's right. Sol's pay packet, you can argue, well, it was up from 11.8 to 13.4, so, you know, it was around 10%. And, you know, he gets less than Frank Lowy at Westfield. He gets $16 million. And, Nicholas Moore at Macquarie Bank, $27 million. Rupert Murdoch last year, $32 million US. But it is a pretty controversial look, given that his deputy, Greg Wynne, who's the chief operating officer, his salary went from $5.7 million to $11.2 million. So he almost doubled, which is pretty controversial. So the two of them got $24.6 million.
Well, in the case of Greg Wynne in particular, Stephen, that was despite him missing what I would have thought would be their most important target, and that's migrating 5 million customers onto the new IT systems.
Well, that's right, and they've just fallen short of that. So, Greg Wynne is the operations guy. He's also been in charge of building all the new networks, you know, such as the wireless network, and he'll be involved in the national broadband network battles. He's the big technical guy, and yes, they did fall short of their stretch goal of migrating all these customers, the 5 million, over to the new systems. So the board gave each of them about 80% of their short-term incentive. They could have got a maximum of 6 million in short-term bonuses, and they only got, well, Sol got 86% of his, and Greg went a bit less. So, you know, the argument goes, well, they achieved some pretty good things overall. Yep. And, you know, the profit was up 13.5%. They are still slashing, you know, a couple of thousand staff a year. And they are still promising this massive increase in profit by 2009, 2010, when they finish spending all these billions on systems and networks.
They have had pretty impressive growth in their broadband, the mobile data, the wireless, and even that website that they bought in China. So much so that Trujillo, as you report today, gloats that Telstra is growing four times faster than Optus.
Yeah, look, there's an old saying, I think, that you don't want to try competing with Telstra in the Australian market. OneTel, Commander Communications, these guys have gone broke. Others like Hutchison, the owner of the Three brand, have reported losses of, you know, about $3 billion bucks over the last 6 or 7 years. So Telstra is a dominant incumbent. It's an old monopoly, and these Americans who run it really do throw their weight around. They really do use their market power. They attack governments and they take on the unions. They're very combative guys.
Yes.
And they are growing much faster than Optus as a result of that, and their revenue growth overall was up 5% for the year, and they claim that's best in the world. There's no other incumbent telco in the world which is still growing by 5% a year in revenue and putting on market share. Most of them are going backwards. So they're a big gorilla, Telstra, and you don't want to fight them.
Well, that what you have just said, you know, as you've written earlier today, the revenue growth of 5%, stronger than any other first world incumbent telco, is another way of saying that Telstra is using its market power as well as its business savvy. And I would add to that a relatively compliant regulator, that Telstra is using that circumstance to crush hapless competitors.
Well,
they just aren't up to the game in competing with it.
Yeah, well, look, pretty tough competing with them. I mean, even Optus, which is owned by the Singapore government, has found it pretty tough in the Australian market. And, I mean, the richest bloke in Asia owns Hutchison or controls Hutchison, and he's dropped a couple of billion competing with them. So, you know, Packer and Murdoch dropped a billion between them, competing with them through OneTel. So there's a lot of people in the graveyard taking on Telstra, which I think goes back to the decision that when Keating got rolled back in when the Hawke Keating government was in power, and he wanted to break up Telstra and the left-wing unions, and they prevailed, and Telstra was kept as the world's most integrated and dominant incumbent telco, and that's huge power, and they use it, and they're pretty tough to compete with, and the regulators and the government find them quite a handful, particularly when the current American leadership are so combative in exercising that market power.
Now, Stephen, the Commonwealth Bank also reports today, and, mate, you'd have to say there's been a lot of rot spoken about the Australian banks doing it hard and, you know, grappling with dodgy loans and in dire circumstances. The Commonwealth Bank result, along with St George and others, just gives light to that. They're doing brilliantly.
Well, they are. I mean, the three biggest victims of the subprime crisis have been Citigroup, UBS and Merrill Lynch, which together have written off $120 billion US on bad loans. Now, the Commonwealth Bank today wrote off $930 million, and if that's the worst that happens to them on $400 billion of loans after the world's worst ever credit crisis, they're doing pretty well. And they today have weathered the storm and reported the biggest ever bank profit in Australian history of $4.7 billion. They're dominating the home loan market. The deposits are just pouring in because everyone's scared and they're going to the brands they trust.
Yeah.
And they've got twice as many deposits as any of their rivals. So I reckon that, you know, when the Reserve Bank cuts interest rates next month, if the Commonwealth Bank tries to argue $4.7 billion's not enough, we need to not pass on the interest rate savings to, a couple of $100 billion worth of home loan customers, I think it'll be a massive political fight. I think this profit just puts the lie to the fact that the banks are struggling. They're making huge profits, record profits, and they're as strong as ever.
Stephen Mayne, thank you very much for speaking with us. You can see Stephen's commentary on this and a range of other things at his website, which is mainreport.com.au, is it, Stephen?
Well, both, but .com's fine,
yeah. MAYNE report.com. Stephen Mayne, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mitty.